This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Monday, December 25th, 2023, the Solemnity of the Nativity of Our Lord Jesus Christ,
the Mass at Midnight,
by Father William Doc Holliday.
The Word was made flesh. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This night, Christmas, the season in general, you look at it, and you see these bumper stickers and things in people's yard. Jesus is the reason for the season. I'm not bad-mouthing it. I have that banner in my yard. It's like evangelism. That's a good thing. But for us, we know he's the reason for the season. So we need to understand that this night, this season, it sets the stage for our salvation. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, comes into the world. That's the story. We never want to lose sight of the fact, and we always ever want to be delving more and more into the mystery of what Christmas is. Christmas is a mystery. It's not a story. If it's only a story, then it's eviscerated from what it's supposed to be. It's not just a story. It is the mystery of our salvation. As long as we're in this side of the veil, we will never understand it because it's a mystery. If we can figure it out, explain everything or understand everything, he's not God. Christmas is a mystery. If it's not a mystery, it's not Christmas. Sort of like that old, if Jesus isn't there, it's not Christmas. He is the reason, and how he got here is a huge mystery. This is what makes us different from the world. The world, the church, the natural, the supernatural. This is the line of demarcation. This is that abyss that separates, should separate us from the world. We should glory in that separation between us and the world. We are here to bring people from that side over to ours, never to make us look like them in any way, shape, or form. They are natural. We are supernatural, or should be. The supernatural is ridiculed by the natural man. People don't get it, particularly for us. They don't get it. There are other people who call themselves Christians. They don't get Catholicism. Why? Because Catholicism is replete with mystery. Everything is mysterious, or should be, and was always in the past. But that is ridiculed by the world. It's ridiculed by people who are more natural in their outlook, even in their own religion. It is a mystery. This stuff started in the 1960s. It started way before that. That's why Jesus came into the world, because we were always separated in this world. After the fall, we are separated from heaven. The door is closed. There is a wall between the two, and it cannot be breached. It was breached by our Lord Jesus Christ when he came. This is ridiculed by many, many people in the world. It really came to fore in the so-called Enlightenment. What did the Enlightenment start? The Enlightenment. What was that? How enlightened is it? We don't need miracles. We don't have to believe in that stuff anymore. We're way beyond that kind of stuff. No, it's not. That's the beginning of badness. And then, unfortunately, over the past, the church has kind of bought into this whole, we don't want to emphasize too much this mystery stuff. We need to emphasize the mystery. That's what's going to be beneficial to us. We who receive sanctifying grace, it is or should be, wholeheartedly embraced by our faith that we're not going to understand it, that there are elements of it, many elements of our faith that are mysterious. Our faith is predominantly mysterious. This is where it starts, Christmas, to just get the general idea of it. I said before, it is truly unfortunate, that's a gross understatement, that over the past several decades, in many places, there is this attempt to reorient the church from emphasizing the supernatural to emphasizing the natural, to downplay the mystery. I was contemplating whether sharing this or not, but I'm going to. I always say there's every day, every single day, I can't wake up from my nap to come in to do midnight Christmas mass when I don't see something. This particular parish today, they served hot chocolate during mass. During mass. Let us not even talk about violating the Eucharistic fast, so-called, about an hour before. They gave hot chocolate during mass. It's a negation of mystery. Oh, it's just we're hanging out. Let's all have that happen today. And it just drives my point home. This isn't some just theoretical thing. It's happening. It happens all around. And unfortunately, that's what it is. Traditionally, our faith, the mass, even the way churches look, there was this specific emphasis on putting things before us that demonstrated and drove home the point of mystery. Sacred stuff was separated. There was an altar rail between where all the people sit and the sanctuary, where only ministers go. This whole concept, we're all a priesthood. That's bad news, because in the Old Testament, they tried that once. His name was Korah, and he said, we all have the Holy Spirit just like you, Moses. And long story short, God showed them that by opening up the ground and swallowing them all up. So there is a differentiation between those whom God has called to minister to the people and the people themselves. This is what was there for, to show there's this mysterious thing that goes on up here. Sacred spaces, things were veiled. This is an important part of our faith because it speaks of mystery. Separation of sacred places within the mass, veiling of things that are holy, more holy than other things, incense. A lot of people, incense. Oh, because it smells good. Yeah, that's part of it. But a part of it is the way it clouded what was going on up at the altar. There is this obfuscation. I really can't tell, what's going on up there. That's when incense is used good. When you can't really see up here, that's when it's really kicking. But that was what it was there for. That was a part of it. In the old mass, and even in our mass in parts, there's silence. Like for us, it's during the offertory. In the old mass, it was during the entire canon. A lot of people, even traditionally minded people who aren't familiar with the Latin mass, they're kind of taken aback by that whole thing. Why don't you hear anything? Why don't you hear? Well, you can follow along in your missal if you want to, but what happens is that is the most profound part of the mass, and it should be mysterious. What is he saying? What? He's up there, and you can tell he's praying, can't hear anything. And then he genuflects, and then you hear bells ring. What's going on? It's a sense of mystery. It draws us into the mystery. There's something going on that I can't understand, that I don't get. The language. This is why the Second Vatican Council, I'm quoting it, the Second Vatican Council, the Latin language, not maybe, will be used in the Western Rites. Where do you see that? We're more Vatican II. Well, if you were Vatican II, I'd be hearing Latin in your mass, because that's what it says you're supposed to. Why Latin? Even what you heard was in this mysterious language that nobody spoke conversationally. You have a church loaded with people who are Spanish speakers, English speakers, Vietnamese speakers, German speakers, Polish speakers, and they're hearing a language that not one of them really understands. It's mysterious. It's supposed to be. Like I said, you can follow along in your parallel missal and you can look at it if you were properly engaged. Okay, you could do that, but at the end of the day, it was there for the specific reason of being mysterious. He draws us into these things. And it's unfortunate that, again, past several decades, we're getting away from that. And we ought not. Because that's why people serve hot chocolate in mass now. Is because there's this disassociation with the mysterious. This is just a social thing. It's just a social thing. You are a member of the Catholic Church like you're a member of the Rotary Club. No. Our union with Christ is a mystery. Our Lord Jesus Christ, it is in the gospel. I am the vine. You are the branches. This negates the whole concept as I'm a member of something like you're a member of a club. You're a member of Christ's body like he says. I'm the vine, you're the branches. You are an integral part, biologically, of the body of Christ. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, I abideth in him and he in me. Notice it doesn't say, I abide in him. I abide in him and he abides in me. This integration with us, we are one. This is why this emphasis on the mystical body of Christ. You know, Paul really drives us home. Why does St. Paul drive this point home that it's a mystical body of Christ? Because he'd been confronted by Jesus Christ himself. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Who is Paul persecuting? Christians. Jesus didn't say, I am Jesus and you're persecuting my people. I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Jesus Christ is the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is Jesus Christ. How do you explain that? You don't. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Our whole lives are mysterious. Ministers are called by St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 4, the stewards of the mysteries of God. Mystery's not going away. It's not going away. It's not going away. Catholic priests are stewards of the mysteries of God, whether they know it or not. But they should act like it. They should communicate this to their people because mystery is what makes our faith. Like I said, if there's no mystery in Christmas, it's not Christmas. If our faith isn't mysterious, it's not really truly a faith. We need to understand that. God wants us to understand that. So, I mean, this emphasis on today, Christmas, the beginning of our redemption, it's based in mystery. You think about what... We know the stories. We hear the readings. They're so very familiar. I've sat at a lesson in carols and we hear that one all the time. We've heard it like three times over Advent. We're going to hear it some more during the Christmas time and everything. These things are, if you look at them from a superficial standpoint, yep, they're just the words that teach us about this and teach them. They're supposed to draw you into what's going on here, the mysteries of everything. I mean, you think about what the stories talk about. The eternal word, the one God speaks and all things leap into existence. What comes from you when you speak? The word, the logos. Who is the eternal logos? Our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God who created linear time is born into time. A child is God. That's a ridiculous statement. I heard someone say the other day from another monotheistic religion, God cannot become a man. Very nice how you put God in a box and he can't do any, you know, he can't do like, this person was, yeah, he parted the Red Sea, but he can't become man. A child is God. Mysterious. A virgin, in the purest sense of the word, becomes a mother. And then after she becomes a mother and has a child, she remains ever a virgin. That is just befuddling to so many people who will read these Christmas stories and not see that. Why? Because they just don't embrace the mystery. As I said before, the door between heaven and this place was closed before Jesus came in the mysterious way in which he came. And now the doors begin to open. The angels speak. There was a separation between the two. And now angels and the heavenly host are coming down with shepherds and they're singing the Gloria. Our Lord Jesus Christ is in the manger. It's not a complete negation of the natural. Some elements occur through the power of nature. A woman became pregnant. She was pregnant for 9 months, and she had a baby. That's a natural thing. But some things occur transcending nature. She didn't have a husband. She had never been with a man. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. So you got both the natural and the supernatural. This is what our Lord wanted us to understand about our faith. He wanted to understand that we are part of something mysterious. And if you think on these things, the result is astonishment. A child is God. The one who created all things out of nothing can't move his little arms now because he's in swaddling clothes. That defies logic. It defies reason because it's mysterious. These are a glory for us. Not understanding is glorious for us. And the more you get into it, the more you know you don't understand. Take my word for it. Seminary does that for you. If you approach seminary right, you spend 4 years somewhere, and when you leave, you realize how little you know. You got there and you thought you were all that because you're in seminary, and then you leave, and you're like, man, I didn't know anything, and I still don't. That's the reality of the mysteries of faith. This astonishment that we have, this I don't get it. Good. Appreciate the not getting it, because the result of that is a joy within our, or should be, a tremendous amount of joy in our hearts, that our Lord Jesus Christ has looked upon us so favorably that we believe. We embrace the mystery. We love the mystery. We come to places where the mystery is set before us. This is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is one thing I want to point out. The passage, and the Word was made flesh. We hear it at the end of almost every Mass, unless, like tomorrow at the noon Mass, it will be the proper gospel, so we'll hear it actually in the Mass. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, the last gospel, as we call it, because we hear it at the end of Mass. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's mysterious. There's a lot of things that are mysterious in it. But I think the most puzzling and practical mystery in the whole thing isn't so much the incarnation. It's that part where it says, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. How can that be? How can that be? That people could hear this story and, for all intent and purposes, blow it off. Or, I understand the story. That's why I got the blow-up Santa Clauses and Grinches in my yard. You know, I get it. There's lights on my house. No clue. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. This acceptance or rejection is the huge thing about the mystery. If we accept the mystery, we are drawn deeper and deeper into that mystery by the Holy Spirit, mysteriously. But if we don't, we just live our happy lives day to day. Oh, Christmas again, give some presents, take time off work, you know, and then just go back and wait for it to come next year. That's what it is. Acceptance or rejection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a practical mystery of the whole thing. I said before, without mystery, there is no Christmas. Only an empty image of what Christmas is supposed to be. Our faith is the same thing. Without mystery, it's an image of faith. It's not what it's supposed to be. It's not meaning that people don't have faith, that don't embrace stuff like it. It's up to us to show them and to teach them why. You know, not just say, oh, this is what we do. We do that for a reason, because we live the mysteries of faith. You're part of this. You're part of this by virtue of your baptism. It's kind of weird. You walk into a church, you're not baptized, God looks at you as the person that's sin, cursed, and fallen. You're baptized, he never looks at you the same for all eternity. Because somebody dumped water on you? No, because that water represents the regeneration. It actually regenerates you. It does away with all actual and any original sin. This is a mystery, just like all of our rites of initiation. But first and foremost, the Eucharist. You know, if you are properly disposed, you come up today and you receive the Eucharist. The same exact thing has happened miraculously and mysteriously that happened at Bethlehem. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the Blessed Virgin Mary, and our Lord Jesus Christ was formed in her womb. The same Holy Spirit is going to come down on our altar and hover over bread and wine and change it into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. The same exact mystery happens. The same exact mystery. We've got to receive this. We've got to receive it because at the end of that Gospel of John, we cannot merely receive the story, but we have to receive the mystery. He says, as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Ghost.